Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. I'm your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Folks, let's keep Happy Thanksgiving happy, can we? Trump did a great job putting a few chuckles in his turkey pardon speech. In case you missed it, President Trump expressed his appreciation for how well the turkeys, bread and butter, had been trained by their owners to remain calm in any situation, and he explained that that was good because he understood bread and butter were subpoenaed to appear in Schiff's basement, and that at least then Schiff would have testimony from, well, some creature that had actually met him. Now I voted for bread to get pardoned, but in the video I saw Trump pardon butter. Although Fox News seemed to think he was going to pardon them both. You know, the pardoning both turkeys always troubled me. It seemed a little too politically correct for my taste. But you see, we can keep the happy in Happy Thanksgiving, can't we? Thank you, Mr. President. I admire your amazing ability to keep your chin up when so many are taking swipes at it. Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. I love them all, of course. All of our American traditions are great. And the left is attacking every one of them. Thanksgiving is under attack, and almost as viciously as they attack Christmas. At least with Thanksgiving, it's only attacked by the Antichrist Ragers. What is an Antichrist Rager? Not Ranger, but Rager. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. If you're a God-hating America as founded despising Democrat, and you're driving heavy equipment, please pull over and brace yourself because the brain masseur is about to make you mad. Those of you whose blood pressure rises anytime someone mentions the Bible or God or Jesus, better grab a paper bag, if you can find one these days. Here in California, good luck, and get ready to breathe into it when you start hyperventilating. All you liberal mommies out there, especially those who love to take your little ones to the library to be taught by confused transgendered freaks, grab your kids and cover their ears because... Oh, what's that? Are you shaking your... sticking your tongue out at me? Oh, you don't like that word, freak. If you're new to the Brain Massage Show, the first thing you'll need to know is I never use terms you just intended to hurt somebody. I use words purposely and very carefully. So let me help you out here. The word freak is used informally as an adjective to describe, quote, a person regarded as strange because of their unusual appearance or behavior, end quote. And if you've seen the clownish costumes of these transgendered and transvestite people providing sex education for children, then you know the word is perfectly appropriate. It is freaky. It's freakish. It's abnormal. Downright weird. Here's a quick rundown of how this word worked its way into our vernacular, in our parlance. 1560 was used to speak of a sudden change of mind for no apparent cause. And keep that in mind, please. Probably derived from a Middle English word, fricken, which means to move nimbly or briskly, which is cousin to an Old English word, frisian, which means to dance. Yeah. Anyway, this morphed into freaking, used to speak of one who is capricious in their behavior, someone who acts on a whim, and then freak, F-R-E-K, which, or freck, in the mid-1500s was used to speak of one eager, zealous, bold, brave, or fierce. It's used to describe a capricious notion in the mid-1500s, moved to something unusual or fancy in 1784, together morphed in the 1800s to be used for something, quote, abnormally developed, end quote. Now, either a person or a plant or an animal or whatever that's abnormally developed would be called a freak of nature. And that's the phrase that became popular, used for bearded ladies, albinos, and so on. By the late 1800s, 1887 and on, it was used to identify someone obsessed with anything. A health freak, a study freak, whatever freak. Whatever stood out as unusual, strange, or bizarre came to be called a freak in the early 1900s. So As a verb, its root meaning is to change or distort. As a noun, it identifies someone considered out there, you know, someone that is abnormal in behavior or appearance. It is rooted, interestingly, in a word used among the Scottish that, when used positively, described a bold man, a warrior, and when used negatively, as one that is greedy, eager, bold, and impudent. Now, folks, probably don't need my help here to see how perfectly this word may be used to describe transgender advocates and other gender-confused Antichrist warriors. I simply can't give any more time to it here to help you out beyond what I've offered. But the truth is, they are by definition freaks. A caveat is in order. It is certain there is some subjectivity in how we apply the epithet. As our culture continues to degenerate from the standards and norms of our founders, parallel to that degeneration is a degradation of our sense of morals. It's possible that in, another decade or so, we Christians will be called the freaks. Oh, wait. No, that's already happening. Young Christian men and women are looked at and called freaks because they desire to save themselves for their life partner in the future and refuse to join in the sexual promiscuity that has given us the disturbing statistic of 3 million young people contracting a sexually transmitted disease every year. But we don't care about our children. I mean, let them destroy their futures and their lives and any hope they might have had for a healthy and happy marriage by encouraging them to live like rats, and crawl all over each other and so on. So I must say that according to nature and to nature's God, nevertheless, these people are freaks against nature. But there are many laboring to mainstream the unnatural, unhealthy tendency among about, I guess it's 1 to 3% of the population who reject their God-given gender and insanely imagine they can change it by simply declaring themselves to be whatever gender they desire to be. They might as well declare themselves to be a unicorn. And that, my friend, is, it's freaky. It's freakish. So that should have given all the ragers time to hide themselves in their darkness from the glaring light of truth exposing their garish behavior. Now, what is an Antichrist rager? The Bible says, quote, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And that's Christ, you see, and they're against Christ and they're raging, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." So that's an Antichrist rager, someone who resents the idea that Christ would reign over them. They hate it when we teach them all that Christ has commanded us, like he told us to do. They rebel viscerally against the idea that Christ's laws govern the world. Some are content to let him be king of heaven, but they go all rabid if you suggest that he is presently king of the earth. And they become irrationally enraged when Christians assert his morality in this world and promote it as, the way of righteousness and say that's the right way and expose their evil rebellion as the way of wickedness and say that's the wrong way. They get, all freaky about it. They get, "You can't say I'm wrong and you're right." But of course they can say they're right and we're wrong. I'm still trying to get this figured out. You see, it's kind of freaky. The Antichrist ragers are attacking every holy day in America that is related in any way to Christ and Christianity. Halloween? Well, that's okay. But Christmas means Christ was sent, or Easter from a German cognate Oster, which means resurrection, or Thanksgiving, which speaks for itself, and all things give thanks. Of course, as many of you know, Christmas and Easter are attacked from both sides. Anyway, the attack on Thanksgiving has been developing for a few decades, but it's coming out in the open now. We live at a critical time in the history of our country. We will decide in 2020 to pull this erstwhile God-fearing country out from under God entirely, and so provoke God to drop the U.S. to be swallowed by the maw of hell while Satan burps and picks the Christians from his teeth, or we will rise up against the Antichrist ragers and assert the righteousness which is of Christ and his claim of lordship over all heaven and earth, and reaffirm America as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's right, for all. You see, we Christians have acknowledged the right of crazy people to think they're women when they're actually men. But we refuse to yield our right to recognize them for what they, really are, confused men. We've gone so far as to acknowledge, and I'm speaking rhetorically here, you're right, to not have your children exposed to Christian indoctrination in the public school, right? Because we all believe in freedom of thought and belief, right? Well, my right to believe in God and worship Christ Jesus, well, that doesn't mean I have a right to make you believe and worship, right? So what makes you think you're right to believe you're a girl when biologically you're a male of the species? What makes you think that gives you a right to force me to believe it or affirm it? You don't feel any obligation to affirm my beliefs, for example, in creation in your public schools. So why should I affirm your belief in, say, well, evolution? Why can you teach my children evolution and gender confusion and distort American history and tell my children what I believe are lies about America, what I've been telling them is a lie about America and a lie about his family's faith? What gives you the right to do that? What kind of logic is that? You can teach your irreligion to my kids, but I can't teach my religion to yours? You lousy fascist? Yeah, take it. It's yours. You own that accusation because of this behavior. I'm done with this nonsense. You have fooled Christians long enough. We will wake up and rise up and put a stop to this nonsense. God helping us. It will take some ground in 2020, I trust. You don't get to teach your values to my kid. You have no obligation to affirm my beliefs, and I have no obligation to affirm yours. Now, you might think I've strayed from the point, but really I've not. Public education has become Marxist indoctrination in America. They want to teach America out of our children. And this is partly done by attacking all our cherished Christian cultural holidays. And they're attacking Thanksgiving. All right, it's time to take a short break. Look, I believe all men must repent and believe on Jesus Christ and confess that Jesus is Lord. But I don't believe that gives me the right to force you to confess it, to say that, right? What if I pass a law that says you must affirm my faith, you must agree with me, you must use the language I want you to use to make me comfortable? Well, that would be wrong. It would be absurd, and it's equally wrong and absurd when you do it. So what makes you think you have a right to force me to say you're a man when I know you're born a girl? And what gives you the right to indoctrinate our children, contrary to the values and beliefs of their parents? What gives you the right to turn children against their parents and against their own country? I say you don't have that right. I say close down this stinking public school system. Turn them over to private schools. Whatever funds are collected by taxation to fund education goes with the child to whatever school their parents choose for their child. You want to start your own I hate God school? Go ahead. But you need to stop trying to force your I hate God wicked ideology on my family. If you want a school where coaches don't pray for their students, then go to your Antichrist Rager High School. And I'll send my kids to Christ is King High School. How's that? Then you'll be happy and I'll be happy. We can all have a happy Thanksgiving. Your school could teach your kids all the lies you guys have invented against the pilgrims, and we will teach our kids the truth. And we'll see what fruit comes from your school because, you know, I've noticed that there are no atheist hospitals. I've noticed that atheists and humanist socialists give virtually nothing to charity. They don't care about people because I've noticed the fruit of Marxist socialism is death and oppression. And so you can keep it. I'll stick with Thanksgiving the traditional American way and give thanks with a humble heart for our liberty in Christ. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word means to meet. To experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Someone said, and I paraphrase, defeating Hillary only delays the disaster. If we want to stop the onslaught of Antichrist rager socialism in America, we're going to have to refuse to allow the public education system to corrupt our children with their Marxist lies. We're going to have to insist they teach traditional American history or Simply dismantle the entire public education system, turn it over to privatization. Chuck Norris is a God-fearing Christian American patriot. He wrote an article for Thanksgiving published in WorldNet Daily, November 25. Now, WorldNet Daily is another source I use often, but I think I failed to include it in my list of resources last week, and that's always a problem with making those lists. I'm grateful to faithful listeners, Tom and Nancy, who brought this to my attention. Thank you. Chuck Norris addresses an upcoming article in the Time magazine that is titled, quote, "The way American kids are learning about the first Thanksgiving is changing," end quote. And I'll say it is. Now, you can read it. Just Google time.com and search for Thanksgiving history. I read the article and Norris's response, and I think I'll simply follow the Norris article here as I interject along the way my own comments. Now, I remember tracing my hand on a paper plate and then gluing on the feathers and some cutout of feathers out of colored paper, and dotting the thumb part of the ham with eyes, you know, coloring the turkey. And the teacher having paper headbands with feathers for some of us, and paper headbands with a picture of a pilgrim hat glued to the front of the others, and then orchestrating a kind of mock-up of the first Thanksgiving there at Plymouth Rock. Norris laments that has been replaced with, quote, "teachers who instruct the kids that pilgrims and Puritans were invaders who destroyed the land and annihilated the indigenous civilization," end quote. What? According to the Time article, teachers gathered on November 9 at the workshop in Washington, D.C. titled, quote, "Rethinking Thanksgiving in Your Classroom," end quote. In this conference, the teachers were told that the pilgrims were not enjoying a peaceful celebration of their first successful harvest with the Indians' help, but instead, really, they were celebrating burning of an Indian village and killing the son of an Indian chief. Of course, most of the teachers were stunned at the revelation. One said she came from the conference realizing she had been teaching her children a lot of misperceptions. Really? That's all it took? That's all it took to sway her? Wow, what a freak. And now, class, you must remember what we learned about the word earlier today. A sudden, freakish turning of the mind on a whim, a capricious change of sentiment, makes you wonder how she could have so quickly turned on the traditional American Thanksgiving Day story and bought into this vicious account. Makes you think perhaps her heart had been preconditioned to believe anything vile or evil about America as founded, eh? Yeah, real easy for them to just swallow that kind of thing without even looking into it. Now, the story is today that, one, it's the pilgrims who were barbaric, it's savages, and two, the traditional 1621 peaceful and unified three-day Thanksgiving feast with the Indians, well, that's an unreliable account because, well, there are only two relatively short primary sources supporting it. One was the account of a separatist, an Anabaptist, who traveled on the Mayflower in 1620. What could he know? And then the first governor of the Plymouth Colony, Governor William Bradford. By the way, they're the only accounts of eyewitnesses. But anyway, then they say the traditional Thanksgiving story was invented by 19th century Americans, supposedly these nefarious lying educators and writers of the past in the 19th century. Well, they just revised, they concocted this story in order to unify our divided country during the Civil War era. Excuse me? Now, I know these liars have to stretch to find support for their conclusions, but really? These guys who never met one of those people can divine their intentions and motivations? Well, what, they have some letter written by one of them to another stating that this was their hidden purpose? How about no? Nothing like that at all? This is just Schiff's witnesses all over again. They just, you know, add 2 and 2 and get 104. But I discussed inferential mathematics last time, and we don't have time to reprise. Anyway, the fourth step in their re-education syllabus was to assert that America's founders and framers, like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin et al., were virtually silent about the impact of the Pilgrims or the first Thanksgiving. A quote, further proving the event was fictitious, end quote. What? So they resort to that good old argument from silence routine. You know, it is too bad our children aren't getting a good old-fashioned classic education. You know, where they're taught logic, how to identify specious argumentations so they can see through this kind of foolishness. Anytime someone depends on what no one said as evidence for what they're trying to say, well, you can know their argument's pretty weak. Well, is there any truth to their claims? It's sort of like global warming or climate change. It just depends on to whom you're talking and which quote-unquote experts you're listening to. Dr. Bangs was chief curator at Plymouth Plantation. He has served as a distinguished visiting professor at Arizona State University. He is a recognized scholar on the subject, the author of over 10 books on the era of Pilgrims and Puritans. The esteemed doctor of all things Pilgrim wrote a defense against those who try to debunk the original Thanksgiving story, and it's titled, "The Truth About Thanksgiving Is... The Debunkers Are Wrong," end quote. I've read it. It's very good. And in typical liberal dodge the real issue fashion, if one of these Marxist-loving, God-hating Thanksgiving bunkers pretending to debunk Thanksgiving is challenged to prove their allegations against our fond memories of lessons in the bygone days, taught by teachers that loved America as founded and taught us to love our country too, well, they say, quote, "Was the first Thanksgiving merely a pretext for bloodshed, enslavement, and displacement that would follow in later decades? To ask whether this is true is to ask the wrong question. It's true to its purposes, and that's all it needs to be. For these holidays say much less about who we really are in some specific then than about who we want to be in the ever-changing now," end quote. I know, I get it. I can see your heads exploding out there. Intuitively, you know this is bunko talk. If you're asking whether what these naysayers against Christian settlement of this country is really true, you ask the wrong question, they reply. Why? Well, it doesn't matter if the details are accurate. You're going down the wrong path. What matters is this. The history narrative is true to its purpose. It was true to the purpose of those nefarious and evil men and women who crafted the original tale. And the new revision, well, it serves our purpose today. All that matters is that it serves its purpose. I'm telling you, folks, this is the sort of tripe that passes for intelligence today. The cynical assumption that those in the Mayflower, closest to the events, wrote a fictional narrative that served some sinister purpose, namely, in this case, to hide the real fact that what they were really doing is wickedly rejoicing over burning down a village and depriving some Indian chief of his son? That's the real reason? You know, I've said this before, it's downright evil to impugn the character of people not there to defend themselves. You know, Mr. Schiff might take notice of what I just said. And equally evil is the dishonesty of handling historical records with an evil purpose in mind, which is what they admit they're doing. There's no original record documenting the allegations set forth by these people, only their own surmising based on circumstantial evidence, like a village got burned in 1621 and the Pilgrims were doing their thing. And they must have been celebrating the burning of the village. This kind of thing, I'm telling you, it would be just dismissed as nonsense, except this is what's taken for real thinking today. And you're watching it unfold in the Trump impeachment hearings based on pure assumption, the sort of thing this country has famously decried and denounced. But the liberals, I mean, they have bought into this and they've become the poison. They're polluting our culture with their devious and wicked systematic lies and distortions. Listen, enough of this nonsense. It's just got to be called out for what it is. They're destroying the foundations of liberty by destroying the very concept of truth, of justice, and by denigrating through distortion the whole history of America, or the American way. Just remember that this American way is what has given you liberty, while their way, Marxist socialism, check it out anywhere you want to in any history book you want to read, has always led to tyranny and widespread bloodshed. Jay Silverman of George Washington University is a specialist in Native American, Colonial American, and American racial history. He wrote a book, "This Land Is Their Land." What is, I thought, interesting is he admits that the first Thanksgiving meal was peaceful. He'll give him that. But he knows the underlying motives of the Pilgrims and the Indians. Yeah, he knows. He has divined the real motivation by noticing certain facts. You know, like the Indians used their connections with Europeans later on to secure weapons. And so, you know, it must be the case that the only real reason the Indians cozied up to the Pilgrim settlers and taught them how to plant and so forth was because, as he said, quote, the Indians wanted allies and access to European military weapons, end quote, just in case they needed to defend themselves against their rivals. Not a very flattering picture of these Indians, I'll say. My grammar school teacher was much more friendly to them than this character. But there is still this nagging and very disturbing question, right? Why didn't our framers speak about the significance of the Plymouth Landing? Oh, my soul. Dr. West wrote an excellent article, and it's titled, We're Living on the Plymouth Rock. And by the way, I have all this documented in these notes, and you should go online, brainmassage.net, and download a copy of these notes, which will be available to you probably about an hour or so after I post the show. Anyway, that article explains what clever liars these bunkers are. You know, debunk, the opposite is bunk. Okay, anyway, for example, the dear Dr. West points out what I had the pleasure to discover some many years ago when I conducted a thorough study of the history of Thanksgiving Day. I think I even did a couple of shows on it. The Pilgrims of Plymouth were revered and remembered, not so much in the federal laws of our land, but virtually everywhere in local customs of the people. As for state recognition of the significance of the Plymouth landing, New York kicked it off, and several states followed the example, setting aside a certain day formally as a day of Thanksgiving commemorating our Pilgrim forebears. The Pilgrims were remembered and their memory cherished on the occasion of the 200th anniversary of the landing, when the good people of the state stamped the famous rock, Plymouth Rock, with the date 1620. Daniel Webster helped memorialize the landing site and the occasion with a speech. That speech was titled The First Settlement in New England. In that speech, Webster also memorialized many of the key features of the Thanksgiving feast narrative as we have received it. David Barton has an amazing website where all sorts of documentation can be found supporting our traditional view of American history. Go to www.wallbuilders.com. One document in particular, the historical account of Thanksgiving. Then there are always the non-religious who are experts on religion when it comes to bunking the American people out of their religious holidays. Here's one Yahoo, a reputed expert on the subject, Rick Schenkman, who tells us Thanksgiving could not have been a religious holiday. Why? Well, because, quote, the Pilgrims would never have invited the Indians to join them, end quote. What an idiot. That's one. And then two, quote, the Pilgrims would never have tolerated festivities at a true religious event, end quote. I don't know what religion he's a part of, if any. But this guy's so ignorant, it's just sad. This is supposed to prove the famous feast at Plymouth Rock was merely a harvest festival. That's from his article, by the way, titled Top 10 Myths About Thanksgiving. He adds, as if this was an aside that adds some real weight to his argument, quote, besides, they celebrated on different days, not just November. It's unreal, but you have to be patient with ignorant unbelievers. Okay, first, anyone familiar with Jewish feast days knows they were, well, feast days that were observed as religious events. Then those special people who are in the know, you know, the special people who are privy to inside knowledge, who are aware of such esoteric and dark hidden secrets as, you know, Christianity being a development out of Judaism? You probably didn't know that, and I'm sure you're shocked. I know that startling revelation to many, but I can't help your ignorance if you won't at least take a little time to look at the facts. I mean, it's really stunning how ignorant these people are about our heritage, much less our faith. For example, the Feast of Tabernacles, called Sukkoth, Deuteronomy 16, 13 to 14, was a feast that continued for 7 days. Hello? You know? And the Jews were commanded to include the stranger in their activities if the strangers were among them. Good night. We don't start a birthday party without bowing for a moment of prayer and thanksgiving to God. I need to close. Chuck Norris recommends we read what he considers a, quote, stellar description of the Christian religious life and practice of the original Pilgrims and Separatists. You'll find it at the Plymouth Plantations website, Faith of the Pilgrims. My dear friends, don't let them take the happy out of Happy Thanksgiving or the merry from Merry Christmas. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on, 805-314-2114. It's a listener response hotline. Leave a message for me. If you want me to call back, let me know, I will. Or go to brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'll see you in church.